fucking game. 100 miles and running, always into something. Yelling fuck the police,
fuck the police.
Like I'm straight up out of Compton. Real niggas don't die. Appetite for destruction. Just a nigga with an attitude. Always into something.
Impala on eights.
What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, and I'm glad to have all of your asses listening in today. Today's show is brought to you by this brand new book called This Report, the Hebrew Phoenician History called the Bible. It's by a brother named Hashua Amariel, and you can get this book at lulu.com. Now, this book is the first book in history to give a complete formal equivalent translation, that means word for word, of the ancient Hebrew Bible scriptures into English. So you definitely want to check that out if you want to get your biblical game on point, and that's called the Hebrew Phoenician History called the Bible. You can get that at lulu.com. And today's show is brought to you by HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Ladies and gentlemen, the top-selling documentaries in the country right now. And you can also get those at Amazon. Now, we're going to chop up some good game on today's show. We're going to talk about the Ray Rice situation. And I want some people to call in and give your opinions on the whole Ray Rice situation. The phone number is 818-850-5404. And we're going to get into that right after a very quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll be right back after these messages.
The Runway Boys Flight Club, that's an international clothing company that represents the travel lifestyle. Founded in 2005, the Runway Boys started as a group of active duty Air Force members. And them using their international connections, the group would start producing clothes for men, women, and children. The planes, hotels, parties, the people all across the world became the inspiration behind the logo and the brand. Visit runwayboys.com. That's runwayboys.com. And enter the promo code RUNWAYBOYS for 10% off on your purchase.
Case Ultra, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's CaseUltra.com. Again, that's CaseUltra.com. You know, one of my favorite songs back in the day from Usher is called Let It Burn. But what you don't want to let burn are your genitals. That's because casual sex is on the rise right now, and so are STDs. And yes, it can happen to you. You can't be so trusting with people out here. And you want to get yourself checked out. So you need to go to stdhometestkit.com and order their in-home STD test kit. You can test at home and you can get the results at home. And the results come in less than 10 minutes. Plus, you get instant HIV testing. No mailing off to the lab. No embarrassing trips to the STD clinic with other people you might know that's burning along with you. Go to stdhometestkit.com right now. Add the KFLEX coupon code and get 25% off on your order.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Show. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and we're ready to chop up some good game on today's show. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get some of that fresh fly gear. And I'd like to thank everybody who got the back-to-school Mackish packages. That was a big hit. A lot of folks got that, and everybody should have their packages by now. A lot of stuff we need to talk about on today's show. Hey, y'all, I'm going to be doing a screening of Hidden Colors 3 and a Q&A afterwards. I'm going to be there live in person in St. Louis. We're coming to St. Louis, and the screening is going to be free. We're doing a free screening of Hidden Colors 3 in St. Louis. It's at a place right outside Ferguson at the JCPenney Theater. I'll give you guys all the details and the information and the addresses and all that good stuff. But that's going to be on Saturday, October 4th. We're doing this for the Recall for Mike hashtag. This is going to help people get out here and get ready to vote so they can start recalling some of those politicians out there in Ferguson
who are not really handling their business correctly. I saw they had a council meeting the other day and it was just haywire. Those people need to be brought out of office, or we're having a screening absolutely free down in St. Louis. I'm going to do a question and answer after the screening. That's going to be October 4th. That's going to be in a few weeks from now, family. So you definitely want to come on out for that. And I want y'all to spread the word to the brothers and sisters out there in Ferguson and St. Louis. And again, y'all follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And you follow me on Facebook at Tariq Elite and Tariq Nasheed. And you follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. And I give you more details on that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get a couple of calls. The phone lines are just lit the hell up. What's up? Who's calling?
Man, this is Jimmy J. Smooth out of Houston, Texas. Man, what's popping and what's dropping, man?
I'm good with it, Jimmy J. Smooth. What's on your mind, Pimp Sauce?
Man, what's up with this Ray Rice deflection, man? Is the Dominant Society really, man, trying to go in on us, man? What's popping, man?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn.
Yeah, man, this
like, come on, man. I'm like, I feel like the chick provoked it from the looks of the video. So, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know if he should have knocked her out. I think he should have body slammed her, but I don't think he should have knocked her out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm going to get into that in a minute, man. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I'm going to chime in on the whole Ray Rice situation. What's up? Who's calling?
What up, Flex? How you doing, bro?
What's up, man? What's your name?
This is Steve from Denver.
All right, Steve, I'm going to need you to roll up off your side, brother, because you sound like you land on your side with your ankles twisted up and you're trying to sound sultry. I don't like niggas calling up here trying to sound sultry, brother. What's on your mind?
Oh, no, I was just driving home from work.
Oh, you're driving home from work?
Yeah.
You got a sultry job, nigga? What do? Nigga, you a fluffer at a porn set? You sound real sultry for a nigga driving home from work. What do you do, man?
Hey, I wanted to ask you, have you heard about that War Machine dude?
The War Machine dude? No, what's that?
The UFC fighter that beat up his girlfriend that was a porn star.
Goddamn, I know who you're talking about. What's his real name?
That's his name, War Machine.
Oh, that's that nigga. What's his real name? His mama didn't name his ass War Machine.
They didn't release his real name. They just said he was War Machine.
And when did this happen?
I just thought that how that was funny how they would gloss over that story and also the story of the dude that raped the 8 black women.
Yeah, yeah.
And is getting donation, but they're focusing on Ray Rice and making him out to be like the worst person in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm gonna get on that in a minute. But thanks, brother, and get that sultry sound out your voice, pimpin'. Holla. All right, y'all niggas. I told y'all about calling my show sounding sultry. Dudes be calling up trying to sound sexy, and you just talk regular. You don't talk sultry. That's not a normal voice. You sound like that when you call up a chick. That just rubs me the wrong way. But I'm going to get on the whole Ray Rice thing in a minute. Before I forget, let me play this clip of Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, shout out. I love Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was on a Canadian news show. He's up there promoting. I think he's promoting his one-man show. And his one-man show is pretty good. His one-man show is very, very good. He's just talking about his life. And he's doing his thing on stage. And it's a very good show. And in this interview, Mike is sitting there with the promoter. The promoter is cool, and there's a black newscaster, and they always put the black newscaster up there in front so they can ask some fucked up bullshit to another black person so it don't look real raggedy. So the newscaster, they're talking about the play, and it's talking about Mike meeting the mayor and working with the mayor of Toronto and all this, and then the newscaster starts talking about Mike's rape charges. You start digging that up. And then Mike, checked him a little bit. Mike started going off a little bit with the... I'm going to let y'all hear it. But Mike started cussing the dude out a little bit. And it is funny. And then the dude deserved it. Here it is.
Now, some of your critics would say, there's a race for mayor. We know you're a convicted rapist. This could hurt his campaign. How would you respond to that?
Hey, I don't know who said that. You're the only one I heard say that. You know what I mean? And I don't have no comment to that. Because it's negative, and you're being negative, and I met the mayor,
right?
And nothing they can do about it.
We actually had a really good time. We talked about George Chervalo, who was a legend in your city.
And that's Mike's promoter talking on the side too.
Great man with whom Mike spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking about his life, know, highs and lows.
It's so interesting because you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of shit.
Hey,
that
come on.
No, that was a piece of fuck you. That was a piece of shit.
You know, we're doing live TV.
Hey, I don't care. What are you going to do about it?
All right, you got a show that you're doing tonight.
We are.
You know, a lot of people.
We are. Where it comes raw and it's the real truth.
Yeah, a lot of people will be there to see your show. Just tell us a bit about it.
It speaks for itself. Everyone saw the show.
All right. It's a Broadway production. It went to Vegas. It went to actually 28 cities in the United States. And we're really, really proud to bring it here. And we're actually going to Monaco on October 9th. We're going to be in Monte Carlo.
Right. Is it nerve-wracking for you to do something like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare?
I don't know. It's more nerve-wracking for me here talking to a rat piece of shit like you.
Come on, Mike.
No, because you're a piece of shit.
All right,
really, that's
we're gonna wrap up this interview. Thank you for coming in.
Fuck you.
That the look on dude's face is hilarious. He's like, he's trying to be all professional now, so we're gonna wrap up. Mike, like, fuck you. You gotta see it, man. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. They always put the black reporters out there to try to say some slick, underhanded shit to a black entertainer. So Mike got at it. Mike ain't the one to do that too. But I digress. Let me get a couple of more calls before I go in on this whole Ray Rice thing. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up? This is D-Block from Columbus, Ohio.
What's up, D-Block? How you doing, homie?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
What's on your mind?
All right. I was calling about the Ray Rice thing. And I just wish society would say or admit that we treat women like a bunch of retarded adults that we got to make special provisions for, such as, I guess, you know, certain ones, they feel like they're too stupid to keep themselves out of harm's way, like spitting and smacking a man and not expect to be hit back. Okay. And I'm just kind of tired of arguing with women about it, like, no, you don't do that regardless of what she does. And it's like, I don't understand that logic. Like, I'm tired of fighting with women about that. Like, well, she can smack him and she can do this. You don't do that. Now, I will say I don't feel like he was right for knocking her out in the elevator, because that's a loved one.
Right.
And I wouldn't even do, like, a little homie like that that was a loved one. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just knock his ass out and then drag him out. I wasn't really feeling that.
But
just the whole women don't hit men under any circumstances, I just think that's stupid.
Right.
I'm kind of tired of hearing it.
There you go, man. Thanks for the call, fam. All right, let me give my assessment on this whole thing. For those who don't know, football player Ray Rice, he, back I think in April, there was a situation with him and his then fiance, she's now his wife, Janae Rice. They got into an altercation and, you know, she called the police on him and they were both arrested for domestic violence. He knocked her out. And then the video surfaced of them fighting, basically. She ran up on him. At first, she smacked him outside the elevator. I think he spit on her. And then inside the elevator, he hit her again. Then she ran up on him. And then he swung and hit her. And what happened was, when she fell down, her head hit the railing and she got knocked out. So it was really the railing that knocked her out. But again, my whole thing is this, and you know, the NFL, the team he played for, they suspended him. Now there's this big, huge media outcry over Ray Rice, and now this whole domestic violence thing. It's become overkill now. The media and all of these social networking outlets, they're jumping on this. Ray Rice is now the poster child of woman beating all of a sudden. And we gotta look at the hypocrisy of it. Now, I'm not saying what the guy did was wrong. I mean, you shouldn't be fighting and all that. And basically what Janae did, she pulled the Solange. She did a Solange move. And instead of my man just kind of keeping it chill like Jay-Z did, because that's what Solange wanted Jay-Z to do. Solange was doing all that punching and kicking because she wanted Jay-Z to raise up and swing on her in any way so that she could now be paraded around like a victim of domestic violence. But Jay-Z was too cool to take the bait. But Ray, you know, it was an emotional situation. It seemed very reactionary. She ran up on him and then he, you know, reactively swung on her. I'm not saying good or bad, right or wrong, but it happened. And that just, not only I think it ruined his career, but now they're going to use him as the poster child for a woman beating all of a sudden. And the dominant society, they have jumped on this heavy. And the interesting thing is that there are a lot of black people who are being paraded around, made to speak on this situation and to speak down on Ray Rice. And this just goes to show how politically naive black people are. Black people are just like our brother, our elder, John Henry Clark, who's with the ancestors. He said black people are incredibly politically naive. Because when they put a camera in our face and tell us to throw another black person under the bus along with them, black people jump at the opportunity. Which is a huge mistake. Not saying that you should condone any type of domestic violence, but again, I'm not siding with any white supremacist or suspected white supremacist against a black person. That's not going to happen. We need to get out of that habit, because they never side with us against one of them. I've said this a million times, I'm going to say it a million and one times. They never side with us against one of them. They do not throw themselves under the bus like we are so quick to throw each other under the bus. Now, it's very ironic that Ray Rice is now the poster child of domestic violence when you have so many people in the dominant society, so many entertainers who have committed domestic violence. Most of them, you don't even know they did it. And you don't see them being paraded around with the perp walk, the virtual media perp walk. They're not parading them around. You don't see all these women's groups up in arms over these people in the dominant society. There's a whole laundry list of people in the dominant society who's been charged with domestic violence. Now, some of the people we're already familiar with. Mel Gibson, we know about him. They're not making him the poster child of domestic violence. They didn't make Sean Penn the poster child of domestic violence when he committed it. They're not making Charlie Sheen the poster child of domestic violence. And he done whooped all types of women's asses. They're not parading him around and throwing him under the bus and siding with us against him. You don't hear about Nicolas Cage, who was charged with domestic violence. You don't even know about that. You don't see them parading Steven Seagal, who's been accused of all types of stuff, sexual harassment, beating his wife. He's been accused of all that stuff. You don't see them parading him around. You don't see them parading Tommy Lee around, who's been accused of domestic violence. You don't see them parading Ozzy Osbourne around, who's been accused of domestic violence. You don't see them parading Mickey Rourke and Gary Busey, Tom Sizemore, all accused of domestic violence. Legendary actor James Caan, you don't see them parading him around. And since they love getting at the rapper so much, you never hear about Vanilla Ice's domestic violence charges. I think he's been charged about 3 times for domestic violence. They like to throw the rappers under the bus all the time about being violent. Vanilla Ice, who was America's darling for a hot minute with his one hit, they never talk about that. And also, you know, the rappers who aren't even hits, they'll dig them out of the grave to throw them under the bus. In some media outlets, they'll find a rapper whose record ain't been out in 50 years and then bring him out and parade him around if he's committed domestic violence. They never did that with Vanilla Ice. Other celebrities and public figures in the dominant society. Josh Brolin, actor. William Koch from the Koch brothers, billionaire. A lot of folks don't know he was accused of domestic violence. All that stuff is on the low. Batman, Christian Bale. He was accused of jumping on his own mama. You don't hear nothing about that. You don't see them parading him around. But Ray Rice, all of a sudden, Ray Rice is the poster child for domestic violence. See, it's that hypocrisy of the dominant society. There's a hypocrisy there. when there's a black face on some type of domestic crime or any kind of crime, they overemphasize that. All these other people, they get a smack on the wrist, or they don't get a smack at all. But when the black person does it, they go into overdrive. And my thing is this, that's how white supremacy works. I'm not even tripping on that. That's what white supremacy is. That's the great thing about white supremacy for the dominant society. Our own, we give our own a pass, but other people, we go overboard to punish them. That's how white supremacy works. The problem I have are the black people who go along with these white supremacist ideologies. That's the issue I have. Black people who go along with that nonsense. Because in the back of black people's minds, they think that they're going to get something out of it. It's some type of sick psychological satisfaction black people get from throwing other black people under the bus alongside with white supremacy. You think that getting a pat on the head from the dominant society is somehow gratifying to you. And that's a sickness that a lot of black people got to get out of them. Because, see, you got to understand, there's an industry in putting money behind demonizing black people accused of domestic violence. There's an industry behind that. Because that caters to a lot of those old black male violence stereotypes. And black women, too. They have the same stereotypes for black women, but it's really overemphasized with black males. To portray the black man as ultra violent, because this gives the dominant society justification for practicing white supremacy upon black people, black males in particular. To portray black people and black males as ultra violent, showing that they need to be subjugated. That's been the whole trick from day one. And the thing is, domestic violence charges, those are the best charges. They love that. They love it. Because now, when they demonize black males, they can pretend that they're not doing it because of race. They can pretend they're doing it because they want to look out for women. That's a great way to hide white supremacy. Hide it behind the facade of you looking out for women's rights and women's well-being. Particularly black women's well-being, which they never do in any other case. But if they can get an opportunity to demonize a black male, they'll join with black females cosmetically. They're not really helping black women. They'll just use black women as the catalyst to throw the black male under the bus. Again, there's an industry for that. That's why they make movies like What's Love Got to Do with It? That's why that movie was a hit, because, you know, they'll put big dollars into making Ike Turner the poster child for domestic violence. Whereas some of those 1950s rockers, they were beating the shit out of their women. Those the ones in the dominant society. Wasn't just the black ones. It's very interesting that they would make Ike Turner the poster child for domestic violence. And there's a lot of, with Jerry Lee Lewis, all these people, they were doing some real slick shit. A lot of those old rockers were doing some real slick shit. Shout out to Ted Nugent and his molestation accusations, if we want to go there. But again, when they do that, domestic violence is a great facade, because now you can throw black men under the bus without looking racist and pretend you're doing it to support women. This is why the National Organization for Women, they've come out and they've made big noise about Ray Rice. And the White House's, I think they sent out something about Ray Rice. I think the Congress sent out something, some type of memo. So everybody's using this as an opportunity to jump on board. But I find it so interesting that the National Organization for Women, they're coming out making noise. They're drilling the NFL and trying to get people removed because they knew about it. So now the National Organization for Women, all of a sudden, they're making big noise about a woman being abused. Why? And I've said this a million times, as long as there's a black face on it, they'll come out in droves. Those women's groups didn't make a sound when you had police officers, white cops, pulling naked black women out of houses, beating them up. In New York, the cops pulled a naked black woman out of her house, and she was innocent. She wasn't even the one they were going for. They pulled that woman out of her house and beat her ass. Where was the National Organization for Women? See, that you got to call out the hypocrisy, and I want you to ask them this. I want you to ask these people this. Since they all of a sudden care so much about the black female, the only time they care about black females is if there is a situation where a black man can be thrown under the bus. That's why I've been so critical of that whole street harassment thing, because the face of street harassment, black men. And they pretend to join forces with black women in order to throw black men under the bus, and ultimately black women will be thrown under the bus as well. But you never see the National Organization of Women say anything about the black woman out here in California who got beat up by that cop on video. They didn't say a peep about that. I haven't heard them say anything about the white cop who raped about 8 or 9 black women. There's a cop raping black women. Not only that, people have been raising money for this cop. They had a GoFundMe page where they're literally raising money. Last I heard, it was like $15,000, $20,000 raised for this cop who was raping black women. Now, and all those organizations said nothing. Now, when the black man is the face of violence, the National Organization of Women come out in droves. See, the thing is, you have to understand, the mainstream feminists, they come out because, see, they know they can flip this into a money-making opportunity. And demonizing a black male, that's money. That's always been a big moneymaker. And these mainstream feminist organizations, again, they practice systematic white supremacy, many of them, just like every other organization. They have white supremacists within their midst. They're no different. They're white supremacists in many cases before they're women. They're going to look out for white supremacy before women. That's why they're not saying anything about all these women getting beat up by white males, but all of a sudden they're coming out playing Captain Save-Em when there's a black face there. And again, they can flip this into money. See, what they'll do, they'll come out for Floyd Mayweather. Just like with Floyd Mayweather's ex, he has feminist lawyers. Well, there are feminist lawyers representing Floyd Mayweather's ex. She just filed charges saying that Floyd was abusive to her and he was threatening her. And now there's a white feminist lawyer representing Floyd Mayweather's ex-lady. They'll come out then. Just like when Tiger Woods was accused by all those white women for... He wasn't even accused of a crime, but all those women's organizations were going after Tiger Woods. Just because he was cheating on his wife. And he lost millions of dollars of endorsements. But the thing is, what they do, the mainstream feminists, they'll get the black female who's been accused of being abused by a black male, and then they'll pretend to be on her side. And I want sisters to understand this. Again, we got to stop being so politically naive. When these mainstream feminists come running up to you trying to so-called help you, they're hustling the hell out of you. Because what they do, they come putting their arms around you. Oh, come on, we'll help this little poor Negro woman. This poor Negro woman was beaten by a big black brute. Oh God, this poor Negro woman. Look, we need more money to do an anti-domestic violence campaign, because look at the Negro brute and what he did to this poor negress. So instead of giving her some money, write us a check. Write the check out to the National Organization of Women, and we'll cash the check and we'll look out for them. And what they do, these women, they know how to campaign for money. They've been doing that since the 70s. Not even the 70s. It goes way back farther than that, to be honest. They've always used the black male rapist violent threat in order to get federal dollars, to get donations. All the black males are coming to get us, so we need money to build a crisis center. So this is a hustle for them. And throwing a black male under the bus is easy money. It's easy money, and this is why all of these political people and political organizations and private organizations are using this to their advantage. You got people talking about the knockout game, the people who were on that, people who are going to make money off that, people who write books about that, They're talking about Ray Rice was playing the damn knockout game. So they're going to milk this thing for everything it's worth. And the thing is, they'll parade a whole bunch of black people out to denounce Ray Rice. And the thing is, if you try to rationalize it and try to be biased about it and just say, hey, wait, you know, we got to, you know, I kind of think both sides are at fault. That's what Stephen A. Smith said. And you know he got punished for that. When Stephen A. Smith tried to play the neutral role, they threw his ass under the bus. So they will punish you if you don't go along with their program. You see how that works? See, that's white supremacy in effect. And see, this is a perfect situation for the white supremacists because now it's used as a smokescreen to deflect away from all of the white supremacist violence that's been happening to black people this year alone. This year alone, there's been so many incidents of white supremacist violence. I mean, just back to back. And now this is a way to deflect from that. You can deflect from not just the violence, but all of the Donald Sterlings and the racist football and team owners. You can deflect away from that now and really go overboard with criticizing Ray Rice. See, the thing is, no other group throws themselves under the bus. But black folks will stand in line with the white supremacists to do that. See, black people think that this is going to stop their lottery number from being called in. And that's just not the case. That's not going to stop your white supremacist lottery number from being called. They can call anybody at any time. And you got to realize you're not really getting nothing out of throwing another black person under the bus. I mean, that temporary illusion of approval from the dominant society, that's all it is. It's a temporary illusion. You're not getting approval. They're just using you to throw the next person under the bus to make a big political hoopla. And then after they're done, they throw you under the bus too. They discard you. See, again, it's this whole blind obedience that black people have to white supremacy. It's a very childlike thing. It's like the adults, they keep you out of their business, but they make the children tattletale on each other. And that's how they treat black people. Black people are treated like children. See, the adults don't let you in their business. They're not going to let black people throw them under the bus or get with another person in the dominant society to throw another person in the dominant society under the bus. They're just not going to let that happen. They are not going to let that happen. But they require you throw other black folks under the bus. They will line you up and say, hey, what's your opinion on Ray Rice? And you better say the right thing. We got to get out of that. That's very childlike. And the thing is, when people ask another black person, if you're a black person listening, and they ask you about Ray Rice, you should give the same answer that the white supremacists give about other white supremacists. You should give the exact same answer. Because Jerry Rice, he gave an interview the other day on ESPN, and I liked his answer. I liked his answer. Jerry Rice kept it real player. They asked him what he thought about the Ray Rice situation, and he said, you know, I don't condone any kind of violence. I don't condone that at all. But, you know, it's just not my place to speak on that. I'm not going to go too deep in that. He just brushed it off. He's not going to just go on the whole tirade of throwing him under the bus thinking he's going to get approval. And I respect that from Jerry Rice. And we got to start getting into the habit of doing that. We got to start giving the same answers the white supremacists give about situations that they get into. When they ask about Ray Rice, they say, hey, I need to wait on more evidence. That's the answer. What do you think about Ray Rice? Well, you know, I don't condone any kind of violence or whatever, but as far as Ray Rice, I would still need to see more evidence. But Tariq, it's on tape. Well, Mr. White Supremacist, well, a cop beating a black woman's ass is on tape too. But nobody arrested him. And when we asked for the cop to be arrested, the answer y'all gave us is that, well, you need to see more evidence. So I need to see more evidence with Ray Rice. I see it on tape, but I don't know the context of it. I don't know what happened before. I don't know what was said. I don't know if there was intoxicants involved. I just don't know. So I would just need to see more evidence. You see, when Eric Garner was killed on tape, the cop wasn't arrested. And when you ask why the cop wasn't arrested, even after this has been ruled a homicide and the murder was done on tape, the answer the white supremacists gave us is, well, we need to see more evidence. Okay. With Mike Brown. When Mike Brown got killed, there's damn near 10 witnesses now. There was two more that came out today. Damn near 10 witnesses, eyewitnesses, who said they saw the same thing. Mike Brown was shot, hands up, shot in the back, hands up. The forensic evidence shows that the autopsy, I mean, was showing that he was shot while he was down. And when people say, hey, how come this cop is not arrested? Well, we get the same answer. Well, you know, I know you got witnesses out there. There's about 10 witnesses, but I know there's a tape with the actual gunshot showing that the cop shot him and then paused and shot again. But hey, man, we still need to see more evidence. Okay. Well, we need to see more evidence with Ray Rice. I'm not going to be so quick to just throw him under the bus. We need to see more evidence. That's my answer to that. Not condoning anything, but as far as throwing Ray Rice under the bus, we just need to see more evidence. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget, we're going to get it popping. We're doing a screening out there in St. Louis of Hidden Colors 3. If you're in or around that area, you need to come on down. That's going to be October 4th, ladies and gentlemen. That's a Saturday. I give you guys more details pretty soon. If you're not following me on Instagram, your asses need to be following me now. That's at Tariq Elite on Instagram. And also go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to holla. Peace.